This is the Quality News Network. German authorities are searching for more suspects who may be connected to a possible foiled terrorist attack. German and American targets were part of the plot. 11 New Jersey officials have been arrested in an FBI corruption probe, including a mayor and state lawmakers. The arrests were connected to insurance contracts for local governments. The wealthy Democratic donor Norman Hsu, who gave money to Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton, as well as others, did not appear in court yesterday. The fugitive from justice had disappeared for 15 years, then reappeared in a California court last Friday, had posted $2 million cash as bail. President Bush met with Chinese President Hu Jintao in Australia today, the two leaders calling for more cooperation in fighting climate change without hurting economic growth. Federal auditors are expected to release a report today sharply critical of the Department of Homeland Security. The Government Accountability Office analysis says the department has failed to reach more than half of its stated goals. Well, it will be at least 18 months before Iraq's security forces can assume control and the country's police force is so corrupt it should be disbanded. That's according to an independent study released by a panel comprising mostly retired military and police officers and led by retired Marine General James Jones. The general will testify before Congress today. U.S. and Iraqi forces, meantime, have launched a massive operation targeting al-Qaeda in northern Iraq. At least 26,000 troops are involved. Today, 6 insurgents were killed, another 25 arrested. Baghdad authorities say clashes between insurgents and U.S. and Iraqi special forces this morning in a western neighborhood killed at least 14 and destroyed 11 houses. The Pentagon says 40 militants were killed in a 12-hour battle yesterday in southern Afghanistan. NATO-led forces say they've killed at least 200 insurgents in the region in the last 2 weeks. Israeli warplanes crossed into Syrian territory this morning and bombed a deserted area. That's according to Syrian news agencies. Syria fired ground-to-air missiles, but did not strike those fighter jets. And the world is paying tribute today to operatic tenor Luciano Pavarotti. He died this morning in Italy. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news just ahead.
Here's good news about your money. Monterey County Bank has won the Bauer Financial 5-Star Superior Rating for financial strength and stability, making it one of the safest banks in Monterey County for your money. It's nice to know your money is in a safe place, but there are even more reasons to bank with Monterey County Bank. They now have 4 convenient locations in Carmel, Monterey, Carmel Valley, and Pacific Grove. And Monterey County Bank is the oldest locally owned bank, now celebrating its 30th anniversary serving you. Here's another important point. Local businesses have come to trust and rely on Monterey County Bank's position as the county's number one SBA small business lender. Safety, convenience, and local people you can trust. That's Monterey County Bank. Stop in at one of our 4 branches and find out why you can bank on us. Monterey County Bank, SBA preferred lender and equal housing lender, member FDIC.
The White House is deciding whether to approve a federal law banning a highly toxic marine bottom paint additive, TBT. That's TBT, tributalin. Scientists say the chemical harms the environment and the health of those exposed to it. Some states have already passed laws against using it. India has announced its Navy will redouble its efforts to protect international shipping from piracy in the Indian Ocean. The region is the primary seaway for over 90% of the world's shipping routes. Black women are almost twice as likely to die of breast cancer than are white women. A new study provides clues to the biological cause of the high death rate. Black women's tumors apparently fail to respond to commonly given hormone treatment. Shares of Tyson Foods fell 13% after the nation's largest meat company announced it will reduce its yearly forecast. The company's bottom line has been hurt by a South Korean ban on the import of U.S. beef as well as higher feed costs. The CEO of Ace Hardware says accountants have found a $154 million shortfall. The company will be likely forced to restate its earnings for the past 5 years. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 69 points at 13,374. The NASDAQ up 7 points at 26,000. Make that 2612. And S&P 500 is up 4 points at 1476. More at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Barbara Lewis.
We'll be right back. And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop. By now, all of you know the story of Idaho Senator Larry Craig. He, of course, has said today that he may not resign. He actually may stay in the Senate, despite the fact that all the Republicans are demanding that he resign right away. Interestingly, the Democrats have not particularly called for his resignation. As Barney Frank put it, this was not a position of public trust. This wasn't like a question of whether or not he was stealing money, like Senator Ted Stevens, who no one seems to have called for his resignation. No, as Barney put it, let's see if I can get his words right. It is one thing about trusting a politician with your money. We have to be very careful about that. It's another thing about trusting someone to go to the bathroom by himself. Well, apparently we cannot trust Senator Larry Craig to go to the bathroom by himself, and apparently this isn't the first time. Mike Rogers, who's actually been on my show before, if you go back to the broadcast archive, you can see I had him on the show back in 2005, talked about a whole host of members of Congress who are closeted. The great majority of them are Republican, because after all, if you're a Democrat, you can come out and it's okay, because Democrats aren't prejudiced against gay people, at least to a much lesser extent than Republicans are. And he's apparently got a whole host more. I'm going to try to get Mike Rogers back on the show. My guest today, though, has also been on my show before. He was on my show in February 2005, talking about bisexuality. And he's had a lot of interesting perspectives on all these issues. His name is John Craig, and I assure you there is no relation to Larry Craig. But John Craig lives here in metropolitan Washington, D.C., and he is an addictions counselor. He treats addictions, and it's interesting because he'll tell you that addictions, whether it's chemical addictions or nicotine addictions, are not that dissimilar from sexual addictions. And perhaps the main reason I invite him on the show is that he is the founder. He's the first facilitator, counselor, at a premier AIDS treatment center right here in Washington, D.C., for the Straight Partner Support Group. He brings in straight partners, heterosexual men and women that are married to gay or bisexual men or women of the opposite sex, and tries to deal with the incredible difficulties that they face when their partners come out or are discovered doing some of the things that Senator Larry Craig has done. John Craig, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Good to be with you, Mark. Thank you.
I'm very glad to have you here. I want to start with your work with the Straight Partner Support Group. I mean, without giving names, of course, can you tell me how prevalent is straight people married to gay people or straight people married to bisexual people, and how often is it treated, and is it something that it's mostly people of a certain generation, say, you know, a generation in their 50s, 60s, 70s of that came of age when there was more homophobia, or do you see it in all ages?
Well, most of the members of the group that I have run have been, I would say, over 40. It's very difficult to say how widespread this is because it falls into a sort of a gray zone, and many people are very reluctant to reveal the fact that their opposite sex partner may be gay or bisexual. In fact, this is a reason that many of the members of the Straight Partner Support Group that I run come to the group, not revealed this information to friends or family, but they need a place to talk about it because it clearly is a very difficult situation for them.
They want anonymity, in other words.
Exactly.
Interesting.
That,
well, go ahead.
Younger people, well, I think, you know, as the decades have gone by since Stonewall, the gay liberation event in 1969, and attitudes in America have become remarkably more supportive of gay, lesbian, bisexual individuals, it's been easier for younger people to come out, whether they're gay or bisexual, and be out to their friends and family. But, you know, older individuals, Ray Craig grew up, or James McGreevy, the New Jersey governor, grew up in times when it was much more difficult to come out, especially if you life of taking a leadership position in business, government, or the church, or whatever. So, the older individuals are probably more closeted.
Let me ask you this. It's interesting. One of the most famous straight partners of a gay man, particularly a gay politician, is named Arianna Huffington. It's funny to me how few people know, and it's certainly public, there's certainly no secret here, that her husband, who formerly ran for the Republican senator of California, Michael Huffington, came out as gay, and it's interesting because that almost transformed her from being a Republican wife of a Republican notable man to switching. It's interesting. They in the book Blinded by the Right, David Brock describes how they had sort of an amicable arrangement, and since then she's moved pretty sharply to the left. I've met Arianna Huffington, and I've seen her very active in support of gay causes. But I would think that a lot of straight partners are quite angry at their spouse for marrying them in the first place.
There is a lot of anger. That's an important point. Sometimes the anger is not so much that they are gay or bisexual, but the way they have handled the situation.
Well, I assume it's seen as a lie. Right? I mean, if a straight woman or man marries a gay woman or man and the gay partner doesn't tell their spouse that they're gay, then I assume it's a huge, it's just a lie. Now, what I don't know, and I've met closeted gay married people before myself. You see them, in the gay community, they're not that uncommon. Most of them will tell you, whether they're telling the truth or not, I don't know, that they've told their spouse and they're sort of working through it. I don't know if that's true or not. In your experience, John, based on the people you've treated, how often does the gay partner inform the straight partner that there's some sexual orientation issues?
Well, I think it's important, first of all, Mark, to remember that Alfred Kinsey, the great sexual researcher in America, created his sexual orientation, the Kinsey scale, to remind us and keep reminding us that sexual orientation is not an either-or situation. It's usually there's many shades of gray, and I guess the technical term is bisexual if you fall somewhere in the middle. That word bisexual is unfortunately fraught with many connotations that are unfortunate and misleading. That's a whole other topic. But I would say someone like, in my view, someone like James McGreevy is probably not 100% gay, although that certainly is what he's going to say on the air. He was married twice to attractive women. I've been reading a book called Silent Partner, a memoir of my marriage by Dina McGreevy, his second wife. And she says very clearly that she always felt he was yet genuinely in love with her and genuinely sexually attracted to her. I think that's probably true, and I think he falls somewhere on the Kinsey scale, towards the gay end of this Kinsey scale, but still has some significant heterosexual feelings.
I'll tell you, we're going to have to take a break, John, but when we come back, I want to explore the issue of, the gay partners. And I'd be curious to know. I assume there are groups for closeted gay men and women as well. But whether or not they consider themselves bisexual, what do the straight spouses think, and how do they deal with this quite unique situation that homophobia has created, actually breaking up families? If you want to call in and join the discussion, you're welcome to do so. The toll free number is 877-4-HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
It wasn't exactly planes, trains, and automobiles on Head On with Bob Kincaid.
This is what the Bush Administration Justice Department didn't want you to see back in 2001. They took out and they huffed the marker a little bit, and then they went, oh, cool. And they wiped out the name where it says, the plane was chartered either by the Saudi Arabian royalty family or Osama bin Laden. Somebody's got to call up and say, good afternoon. Thank you for calling Ryan International Flights. How may I help you?
Hello. This is Osama bin Laden, and I would like to rent a Boeing 727. Do you have one handy?
Oh, just a moment. Let me check. It's a Mr. Bin Laden wants to know if we got a 727. Do we, Harry, do we have a 727?
Yeah, we got a 727 just sitting there on the lot. Going cheap.
There's nothing here, nothing to look at. Keep moving. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, the, you know, the 6'7" Arab with the portable dialysis machine and the white robes.
Head On with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Head On Radio Network.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing closeted gay homophobes, really. I mean, like Larry Craig, not all closeted gay men and women are homophobes, but many of them are. Many of them come from backgrounds that force them to stay in the closet, or at least they feel they have to be in the closet. And in some extreme cases, like Senator Larry Craig, no relation to my guest, John Craig, it causes them to vote and do things that are quite anti-gay. By the way, John, there is no relation, right?
Exactly right.
Okay, just wanted to make sure there was,
yep,
no relation between the two of y'all. Tell me this. Who tends to, what kind of gay people, what backgrounds of gay people tend to cause them to marry straight people? Or gay or bisexual, I should say.
Well, I think when you go back 20 or 30 years and you have someone like Jim McGreevy or Larry Craig coming through college, high school and college, quite often they are, for some reason, driven to take, to want to take leadership roles in society. They are very aggressive in their pursuit of success in whatever field they choose. If they choose politics, they want to, you know, become governor, senator, or president, whatever. Now, they are keenly aware, perhaps many of them in high school, that they have homosexual attractions. Like many gay men who later come out, or women, you know, these feelings at first terrify them, and with good reason, because society is so, degrades homosexuality to such a strong extent. So they try to think, well, this is just a passing phase. So many psychologists would say, you know, we all go, everyone goes through homosexual attractions in high school, including heterosexuals. So they, many of them try to persuade themselves that actually these are feelings that will pass later, especially if they get married in a heterosexual marriage.
Well, I guess, and I'm so, trying to figure out is who ends up, okay, you have all kinds of gay and bisexual kids growing up today and 20 and 30, 40 years ago as well. What causes a gay man or gay woman or bisexual man or bisexual woman to decide to hide their sexual orientation and to have a straight marriage?
Well, again, if they have their eye on success and they know they're in a homophobic society, one reason they hide it is because they want to succeed and they know that revealing their sexuality is going to make them fail.
So ambition plays a major role.
I don't think Jim McGreevy would ever have been governor had he come out as a gay.
And you were talking to me about your experience at Yale when you were there in college 30 years ago, 35 years ago, around the same time the Clintons were in law school, that at that time you no one could come out publicly and keep and have a good job.
Well, that's true. I remember I was 19 in about 1971. And at a freshman at Yale, the Clintons were in the law school, although I'm not aware of that at the time, of course. But I had a freshman counselor who was in the law school in his third year, and he told me at one point that he had a friend in the law school who was homosexual. And I said to him, well, it'd be interesting to meet this person. I was totally in the closet at 19 at Yale. And he said, oh, no, I could never introduce you to this fellow law student because he made me swear an oath that he would that I would never tell anyone that he was homosexual because it would probably destroy his career. So,
do you find,
you know, it was,
yeah.
Yep.
I was going to say, do you find in your straight support, straight partner support group that most of the people, the gay partners, are there in the closet for professional reasons, or is it sometimes religious reasons, or even just because people are shy and afraid? I mean, I guess it runs the gamut, huh?
It sure does. I remember one woman in my straight partners group. We could call her Janice. That's not her real name, but she had been involved with a man who was from a very conservative family, and he himself was in denial about his homosexual feelings, apparently, for many years. He finally began to act on them, but even while acting on them, he was denying that these encounters with men had much importance at all.
Well, that must be common. Now, this is interesting to me, because also because Larry Craig was caught in a bathroom. It seems to me that the sexual encounters of closeted gay men, the ones who are married, they're not looking for a relationship so much, an affair with a man. They're looking for, I guess, a quick sexual fling, and that's why they're meeting in restrooms. I mean, openly gay people don't need to meet in restrooms.
You're exactly right. This is something that is easier, I think, to dismiss in their own minds, that this is just something quick and for some fun or recreational sex. It's not really being gay or having any kind of real homosexual drive. It's just something that they do.
I mean, I wonder if that's what Larry Craig meant when he said, I'm not gay, I've never been gay. To him, being gay is saying I'm gay or marching in a gay pride parade. It's not having sex with men. He says, sex with men, that's not gay. It's just saying you're gay. That's what's gay.
Well, the truth is, Mark, that this has actually been a big problem that first really came to light in HIV prevention, because there would be questionnaires given out to men, and they would say, are you gay? And the answer would be no. Are you bisexual? No. Do you have sex with men? Yes. So,
yeah, for a man to say, I have sex with men, but I'm not bisexual or gay, that's kind of strange. But I guess it's because to them, gay is pejorative, or more pejorative than having sex with men.
Well, it's also associated with some of the stereotypes of, you know, you need to, you go out to discos, maybe you, are an decorator or hairdresser or something like that. That's what it means to some straight men, and they don't feel that that's part of their personality, so they say, therefore, I am not gay.
Let me focus on the straight partners, if I can. After all, they're the ones that you're dealing with directly. Tell me about their emotions. I mean, it must run the gamut from betrayal to understanding to hatred to, you know, I mean, all kinds of things, huh?
It's true. Usually it's confusion at first. They're discovering that the man they have married is somehow getting involved with, sexually with a man. And they're often hurt, or they feel that there's something wrong with them. Why did Janice or Karen, two of the women in my groups, they would wonder, why did I marry a man who has these attractions to other men who may be a gay man?
Well, there's no reason to blame the straight spouse, is there?
There's no reason to blame the straight spouse.
I mean, if the gay partner doesn't tell the truth to the straight spouse, I mean, if the gay partner says to the straight spouse, hey, you know, I have these attractions, but I'm trying to get over them, then maybe there's some fault for the straight spouse for letting that go. But if it's a pure lie, there's no reason to blame the straight spouse. I mean, how could they have known?
Right. That's exactly right. And yet some of these women will internalize it in a negative way. Also, in a way, they are in a kind of closet. Suddenly, they're associated with homosexuality and all the negative attitudes that our society holds towards homosexuality. They wonder, you know, should I tell anyone? Should I feel ashamed of this? They also can be angry if the man in their life, their husband, has gone out and sought anonymous sex over a period of months or even years. Then they suddenly feel they're vulnerable to all sorts of infection or had been. Did their partner care about their safety, their medical safety, or not? So those issues always often come in as well.
Now, you mentioned two women in your group who were married to gay men. Do you also treat straight men who are married to gay women, and is there a difference in their emotions and their feelings than the straight women married to gay men?
Well, I would say, Mark, that, you know, it is true that males are often seek out anonymous fast sex much more so than women do. So bisexual or gay women tend to have dramatically fewer nameless encounters. That's just the nature of the beast.
But I'm curious, I mean, if a straight man marries a gay woman, a lesbian,
if a straight man has married a gay or bisexual woman, he generally does not find that she has been out, you know, in bathrooms picking up people anonymously.
I understand, but he might find she had an affair with a woman or a long time.
Oh, yeah. And so what I'm saying is that, but often that affair is something much more controlled. So, but still there can be anger. Sometimes a straight man will acknowledge that the anger is somewhat irrational, because how can he really blame his wife if she was absolutely confused in her adolescence and maybe didn't really realize she was gay or bisexual when they got married? Sometimes, though, the spouse who is gay or bisexual has revealed that to their marriage partner, but described that feelings as temporary or not very important, but they did acknowledge it before the marriage. Then later, those homosexual or bisexual feelings become dramatically more important in that individual's life, and that, of course, affects the spouse.
Let me take another break and also give our listeners a chance to call in. When we come back, John, I got a really difficult question for you, and that is, what is a straight partner to do when their spouse, their husband or wife, comes to them and says they, you know, occasionally have some homosexual feelings? I mean, the Kinsey scale suggests that some 40-something percent of people, almost half, have some gay feelings at some point in their lives, a sexual fantasy or a dream or something, and that doesn't mean that they're gay. And yet at the same time, the straight spouse doesn't want to dismiss it for fear that they turn out to really be married to a gay person. How do you counsel such a person? It's a tough question. I'll let you think about it over the break. Folks, if you want to call in, I want to hear from you. You can ask good questions of our therapist, John Craig, 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? At Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters, all you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. In the debate over whether or not to allow gay couples to marry, you had a number of right-wing politicians say that allowing gay people to marry destroys the family. Their logic was that gay people should not be allowed to marry each other. They should be forced to marry straight people. They should be forced to lie to their spouses and marry straight people. Indeed, Larry Craig's marriage is exactly the kind of marriage that all opponents of same-sex marriage truly want. A lying gay man destroying his straight wife's life and the life of his kids through anonymous sexual contact. That is the right-wing agenda. That's why they oppose same-sex marriage. I have asked this question, by the way, of a number of opponents of same-sex marriage. What are gay people to do? Should they marry straights? And some say yes, and some say no, the gay person should be celibate, but no one seems to have a real good answer. My guest is John Craig. He has a master's in social work. He is a counselor and the founder of the Straight Partner Support Group at a major AIDS treatment center in Washington, D.C. John, I wanted to ask you before the break, how is a straight person to know whether their partner, their marriage partner, their husband or wife or their fiancé, is just having a dream about being gay or is bisexual but is still monogamous or truly is gay and therefore is not the appropriate partner to marry? How do they know?
That's a great question, Mark, and it's very important, especially in our particular era today, that any heterosexual spouse or individual who has a marriage partner who is time to let the situation develop, try to explore it as well as they can, because it's often not clear whether the questioning spouse is going to have feelings that are not very strong and they want to stay in the marriage, or those gay feelings may become very powerful and make them want to leave the marriage.
So if someone's in a fiancé relationship, I mean, once you're in a marriage, that's different, but if you have a fiancé and you hear that your fiancé has some same-sex attraction, I mean, I wonder if the right solution is in the Sting song, you know, if you love someone, set them free, to allow that person to explore that attraction, to find out what their sexual orientation is, and then if they decide it's not a major part of who they are, then you can go ahead and get married, and if it is, then set them free. How about that?
Well, I think it's very important to explore our sexual feelings before we make a marriage commitment. Unfortunately, the prejudice in society against homosexuality has made many individuals just repress their homosexual feelings instead of going out to explore them and find out, you know, how strong they are and what their nature is. So that's how you end up with these explosive situations like Larry Craig's. So, it is very important we create a society that's much more open-minded so that young people can express their feelings at an early age, sort those out with their friends and family, and have some relationships that may help them decide what their permanent commitments are going to be and in what direction.
Now, once someone's already married, of course, this is great advice for people who are considering marriage, but once someone's already married, I assume in your therapy group you have people who continue to be married, people who are divorced, and people in every state in between. Is that fair?
That's exactly right. One man, we could call him Carl, was aware that his wife had had homosexual attractions, lesbian attractions, before they were married, but they were not very strong. Well, later those feelings became quite strong, and yet she never wanted to end their marriage. They had two young children. She loved him dearly. She just wanted to have a relationship outside the marriage with the woman, and she wanted that very strongly. He was a very flexible person, and he allowed her to do that, but she never left the marriage, and I think that relationship eventually, after about a year, ended. But it might not be that way. It could have been that she would have wanted to leave the marriage and get a female partner.
So Carl, again, it's a pseudonym, Carl is still married today to his wife, who is lesbian or bisexual, and he allowed her to explore those feelings, but the marriage is still together.
That's exactly right. They're still together and happily together. It's changed the relationship. It was also called a broken experience by Carl, the man involved. There was a Tony who went through a very different situation. His wife was attracted to another woman, started a relationship, finally told him, and her decision was she was gay, she was lesbian, and she wanted to get a divorce but try to remain on amicable terms to some degree.
Well, another thing I found was interesting, and it's, again, a reflection of men and women, is how you said that gay men married to straight women tend to look for anonymous sexual encounters, while lesbian women married to straight men tend to look for more affairs, if you will, with one person.
I'm just saying I don't want to be prejudiced against males, but, you know, biologically, as males, we are much more... but in a very different way sexually from women. I point to the fact that the rather well-known gay bathhouses in major cities in the 1970s before AIDS, the gay bathhouses were there for men. The women, there were no lesbian bathhouses where women would check in and be able to have sex with many partners, but it was quite popular among certain gay or bisexual men. So that's just, I guess, part of the nature of male sexuality.
And yet what's interesting to me is that when you look at illicit sexuality, I mean, here's Larry Craig. He's in a public restroom in an airport where, I mean, all of us have been in an airport, all of us have been in a public public restroom in an airport. This isn't exactly an out-of-the-way park. This is a right. place where children go. This is, I mean, I don't blame at all the Minneapolis authorities for seeking to say, hey, guys, you can't have sex here. But it would seem to me, and I wonder if what you, your work bears this out, that the only people who, or almost all the people who'd be seeking anonymous sex in a public restroom would be closeted gay people, married gay people, because after all, if you're openly gay, you can do it in your own home or even in a bathhouse if you want to do that, but you don't have to do it in a lewd, illegal way.
Well, actually, Mark, that's not true, and this gets somewhat into the topic of sexual addictions. You know, we, most of us, when we first think of the word, we think of chemical addictions where a chemical like alcohol or some other substance is brought into the body and has a strong chemical reaction in our nervous system. Well, what happens with sexual addictions is often there is an adrenaline rush, you might say.
So there are people that want. I was going to say there are people that get a thrill from the possibility of being caught, and so they want to have sex in a public place.
Danger can be part of it. That's another daredevil aspect of the human male. I mean, generally when we think of the most daredevil individuals, like riding motorcycles, motocross, whatever, jumping out of airplanes and parachutes, it may be that often that males are seeking that kind of thrill. Danger is involved. So in this case, you have the danger caught. I think with Larry Craig, he's not so much doing this in spite of the danger as potentially because of the danger. The danger provides a rush.
Interesting. So even Larry Craig may be doing it not solely just because he's gay and needs an outlet, but because he's into the furtive, dangerous nature of it, which turns some people on.
Well, there's a power, a feeling of power in this. He was a U.S. senator. Clearly, so often people who seek these top positions of political power are fascinated with power. They want to be at the top. And once they are, I think Bill Clinton falls into this category. To prove to themselves, again, that they are powerful, they do things that are dangerous, can even get away with this. So, you know, it's a very complex psychological situation.
It sounds extremely complex. Folks, I want to make sure you give you a chance to call in. The toll-free number is 877-4HEAD-ON, 877-443-2366. If you call in, you can give from your own experience. You don't have to name names. If you have a question for John Craig about his work as the facilitator for the Straight Partner Support Group, or you just want to talk about Larry Craig, feel free to give us a call. 443-2366. We'll be right back after this.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at headonradionetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
I'm Matt Rothschild, the editor of the Progressive Magazine, with my progressive point of view, which you can also grab off our website over at progressive.org. When the Democrats failed to defund the Iraq War in May, they assured us they'd come back in September, after the recess, to press even harder. Well, they're pressing even softer. It's becoming clearer by the day that they're not going to do anything with teeth. In fact, they're extracting their own teeth. Now they're mumbling that they'll settle for some mealy-mouthed bill that gives no firm date for withdrawal. All they'll go for is an amorphous, non-binding goal for Bush to shoot for somewhere down the line, or some nominal beginning of withdrawal with absolutely no end in sight. Paralyzed by the Petraeus PR offensive, ever as scared of the next campaign ad alleging that they're not supporting the troops, leading Democrats like Harry Reid and Carl Levin are rolling over again. And they're going to vote for $50 billion more for the Iraq war rather than cut the purse strings like they said they would. This isn't confrontation, it's abdication. This isn't leadership, it's betrayal. I'm Matt Rothschild, and that's how I see it.
America's most dangerous investigative reporter, Greg Palast, joins Bob Kincaid for a bit of conversation radio.
But I have to tell you, this is such a pleasure to be able to actually lay it out.
Greg, anytime you want to lay it out, okay? We're reinventing things here. We call it conversation radio. We're very serious about that. And anytime you've got one of those that's a bit of a Gordian knot, bring it here, please, because there are people hungry for information and who are willing to, you know, this is not the Fox audience. We actually sit and think about stuff.
I like it. That's why I like this. It's the head-on radio network as opposed to the head-off television network that we've been suffering with. So I do appreciate your work, and let's set up another time. Take it easy, Bob.
Indeed. Take care, Greg. Thank you so much.
Head-on with Bob Kincaid, weeknights, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern, here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network.
Got a pony dog craving for a fight.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. My guest is John Craig. He has a master's in social work, and he is the facilitator of the Straight Partner Support Group, a support group right in Washington, D.C. for straight people who are married to gay or bisexual people. I would think, John, that Larry Craig's wife is in a world of hurt right now. What might she be feeling?
Well, you know, it's unfortunate, I think, Mark, that there is no sexual orientation that includes degrees of bisexuality, because I think probably she's feeling humiliated because people would perceive her as a woman who lived her entire married life with a man who was not at all sexually attracted to her. And why couldn't she tell that was happening? That's probably one of her feelings. But I think, again, I feel that Larry Craig probably does have some significant attractions to females. And this may, in fact, be the reason, one reason that he can stand up and say, I'm not gay. To some degree, he may be in denial, but if he really does have sexual attractions to women, and we live in a society that perceives people to be either gay or straight, and he knows he's attracted, then he can say, well, I couldn't be gay because I have this attraction to women. He could say that to himself. But I think she's feeling, you know, obviously, it's very tough, too. This bathroom sex, you know, has a very sleazy side to it, of course. It's something
that people... Yeah, it seems so dirty and sleazy. I mean, for her husband of, I don't know, 30, 40, 50 years, might be longer in his case, 60 years, to think, oh, my God, what's he been doing anonymously in public restrooms?
Exactly. It's very tough. It's possible that at some point she had some inkling of this. Sometimes the reaction of women is they're in a marriage, they want to stay married for the sake of their kids, and they just prefer not to think about it. They really don't want to know.
I was just thinking of Jim McGreevy's wife and her pained reaction, or even Bob Vitter's wife, straight guy that sees prostitutes, and her pained reaction. It's just not pleasant. I feel like they shouldn't put the anguished spouse up there, but it seems almost more cruel to put them there while the politician gives the speech than to just leave them at home, which is, I think, where they'd rather be. Let me go to Bob from Boston. Bob, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark, and hi to your guest, John.
Hi. Well, thank you for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm calling the show because I've been listening to him very interested. And the discussion that you just had on the psychology of sex and why men tend to prefer anonymous sex versus women brought up a point that I'd like to add to the conversation. Basically, I think that the physiology of sex has a lot to do with it. Men experience a different type of orgasm than a woman. It's much more quick and intense, and therefore they're looking for quickies in restrooms is probably more their style.
How about that?
And
is it a physiological
a woman
reason?
Or longer and more of a relationship.
That's an interesting question. John, do you think it's a physiological thing or psychological or both?
Probably both. It's Bob, right?
Yes.
Bob, yeah, I think you have hit on an important point, and I think it is the physiology. Anthropologists and others who study male physiology, you know, Playboy magazine exists. Let me say this, an anthropologist who had studied at Harvard and was at Emory University and was an endocrinologist, she studied hormones, especially male hormones, on male behavior, and she told me at one time that Playboy magazine exists because males are so triggered sexually by visuals. Women just don't experience the same kind of sexual triggers from a visual image. And
it's very interesting because pictures, as you say, pictures of naked women are pornography for straight men, and pictures of naked men are pornography for gay men, but you don't see either straight women or lesbian women that are in so much to pornography. If you look at prostitution, you find a huge number of female prostitutes for straight men, some number of male prostitutes for gay men, and very few prostitutes for women of either orientation. So it seems to be definitely a male versus female thing.
That is exactly right, and it relates to the fact that, genetically speaking, the male of any species has a goal, biologically, of distributing that genetic material to as many females as possible, whereas the female can only bear a limited number of children and has to be very selective about who she mates with.
So straight men and gay men have a lot more in common than either has with straight women and gay women, and straight women and gay women have a lot more in common than either has with either type of man.
That's exactly right, and I think, Mark, that now we are entering an era where homosexuality is much more tolerated and talked about. Something's happening between straight men and gay men that's very interesting. They're becoming friends much more often, even in high school, and so they're talking more and discovering, said, Mark, that there's a lot of similarities in their sexual drives and sometimes their relationships as well.
Okay,
well, you
I
hear
have
about...
Point?
Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, I was going to say,
ahead.
Back in 1973, when homosexuality was taken out of the diagnostic manual, at that time, up until that time, the only homosexuals that were studied were homosexuals in prison. And so, therefore, homosexuality was associated with a pathology. Maybe that pathology wasn't the homosexuality. Maybe it was the criminal nature of the individual instead. And therefore, nowadays that they've taken it out of the manual, it's no longer being treated as a pathology, people are realizing this is not abnormal. This is the way I am.
Right. Bob, that's a great point. And I think this gets back to politics as well. If we are coming out of an era where homosexuality has been oppressed and suppressed for years into a much more tolerant society, we need to look back in history, especially the history of the Western world, and say, has this ever happened before? And it certainly has. In Greece and Rome, homosexuality was often usually tolerated, if not celebrated. You'll find that a lot of politicians, Julius Caesar was known to have a male lover. This was not uncommon at all in the ancient world, and it does relate in many ways to power, a quest for power. Males often hold power in our Western world and have for hundreds of years. So there's a lot of psychological dynamics here around success and power.
True. I mean, if you tell people that they are inherently bad, they get depressed.
John, I wonder what... Natural. Yeah, it is. It is, Bob. It's a good point. And from your point, I'd like to ask John if he believes that, given that there is more acceptance of gay people today, certainly the acceptance is not complete, but it's we're far more accepting than we were 10 years ago and even farther than 20 or 30 years ago. If do you think that I don't know what the right word for it is, but the, let's say, inappropriate marriages between gay people and straight people are lessening?
I would imagine so, because it's much easier for young men and women today to express the fact that they have some homosexual feelings while they're, say, in high school or certainly in college therefore they can get some acceptance. They can talk about those feelings, even explore them in a stable relationship, and discover themselves and find out if these feelings are the feelings they want to make a commitment around, or maybe they are not.
So you'd agree then with the incredible irony that opposition to same-sex marriage actually destroys families by creating inappropriate sexual, by creating inappropriate marriages.
Oh, sure. And I think, again, Dina McGreevy and Larry Craig's wife would both agree that an open society where homosexuality is not condemned but supported would have given them a chance to discover, before they got married, the true nature of their husband's sexual desires.
And find a good straight guy. Tell me this, though, and we only have a few minutes left, John. In terms of the people that you counsel, what do you counsel them? I mean, what are you trying to? Are you trying to tell them that to not feel humiliated, or how do? What are some of the techniques you use? If someone's listening to our broadcast who may be in a similar situation, it's certainly possible, and doesn't want to see you because they want to be completely anonymous. What kinds of things should they do? Talk a lot with their spouse? What do you recommend?
Absolutely. It's very important to try to keep a sense of balance and not to make any decision too quickly. It's important probably to seek out support groups or counseling, individual or couples counseling, and give the questioning spouse a chance to express himself or herself. Describe how those feelings evolved in their early years and how they continue to evolve during adulthood and during the marriage. Keep in mind that the marriage may survive this rocky road, and it may not, but it's important to give it a chance. Many questioning spouses are absolutely committed to staying in the marriage relationship in a variety of different situations. So it's really, there's a broad range of possible outcomes.
Right, and sometimes the gay partner wants to stay there, and sometimes he or she doesn't. I do want to be clear, though, so that we don't stigmatize bisexuals. Certainly bisexuals can be monogamous just as much as gay or straight individuals. I don't want to say that just because someone's bisexual doesn't mean they can't stay in a committed marriage with someone of the opposite sex just as much as someone of the straight of the same sex.
That's absolutely true. That's another big confusion about the word bisexual. Some people assume it means you could not possibly be monogamous. Actually, we all make choices, and there to say yes to one situation often means saying no to another. And I think that it's probably true that many people feel attractions to both opposite sex and same sex individuals. Then they need to make the decision if they want a monogamous relationship, you know, which way should they go?
We only have a minute left, but so I'd like you to make this fairly quick, but I want to compare the situation of John Craig with the Republican Senator Larry Vitter of Louisiana, who was caught with the prostitutes and apparently seen them a lot. Are they similar? I mean, here's a guy seeking to pay for sex. It's straight sex. What causes that rather than, say, seeking sex, someone of the opposite sex in a restroom? Are they similar or is that a very different situation?
Well, I think, again, there's the situation of men who seek power and positions of power. This is deeply rooted in sexual drive. John Kennedy is a great example.
With Marilyn Monroe.
He had a lovely wife, obviously, in Jackie.
Absolutely.
Kennedy,
right.
But he was still going outside the marriage. It reinforced, I think, his feeling of masculinity and of power because of the sexual nature of those encounters.
We'll have to have a whole other show on political adultery, but that's it for our hour. John Craig, thank you so much for coming on the show and for the work that you do. If you live in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area and you are in need of this kind of support, you can go to the Whitman Walker Clinic. They offer it there. If not, you can look on the web for any straight partner support group anywhere in the country. Thanks again, John Craig, for coming here on The Inside Scoop.
Thank you, Mark.
And that's it for The Inside Scoop. Tune in next week. This is Mark Levine signing off.
This is the Quality News Network. Portions of America's anti-terror law were struck down by a federal judge as unconstitutional, ruling that courts must be allowed to review and oversee cases in which the government orders Internet service providers to give them records without notifying customers. Today's ruling also included the judge's evaluation of the rewritten Patriot Act as offensive to fundamental constitutional principle. The law was challenged by the American Civil Liberties Union in that it allowed the FBI to demand records without the type of court order needed for other investigative searches. The Justice Department also ruled that Internet service providers should be able to charge a fee for priority web traffic. German authorities are searching for more suspects who may be connected to a possible foiled terrorist attack. German and American targets were part of that plot. 11 New Jersey officials have been arrested in an FBI corruption probe, including a mayor and state lawmakers. The arrests were connected to insurance contracts for local governments. Israeli President Shimon Peres says he is more optimistic about the prospect of peace with the Palestinians. Peres met today with Pope Benedict and Italian leaders in Rome. Israeli warplanes crossed into Syrian territory this morning and bombed a deserted area. That's according to Syrian news agencies. Syria fired ground-to-air missiles but did not strike those fighter jets. In Nicaragua, the death toll from Hurricane Felix has reached 40, with another 60 people reported missing. The remains of the Category 5 storm continue to dump rain throughout Central America.